at a church that was a landmark. And I didn't go into any of this fancy stuff, as people someday call it now, where I go into the pre-existence of Christ as God himself. But I want to assure you that this teaching that I put out was already being taught in some Missionary Baptist churches and some other places. And it has attained great popularity in many of the churches in Texas. So I got all the material together I possibly could, because I was taught this when I was still a child. And I began to wonder about things. I prayed and all the time about this, because I knew there was more there than I could understand. I never questioned God. Now, you may say, well, I bet you have sometimes. Not really. I may have, but Lord, forgive me if I did. I don't remember it. Why? Because I have a reverential fear of God. And when I felt Imogene's soul slip out of her body and she died, I accepted that. Didn't blame God in any way. Rejoiced in the fact that she went ahead of me. Matter of fact, God has a plan. I don't know the plan completely, but I do understand that Christ was pre-existent. I do understand that Jesus Christ is Jehovah God. I do understand that all power in heaven and earth is given to me. And I understood all that when I came up here. But I knew what would happen if I started trying to teach that when I came up here. So I just, this is what I taught when I came up here. These were the scriptures that I used. And if you'll think back what I've taught about the pre-existence of Christ, it'll make you realize that what I'm teaching is not new. It's very old. The Catholic Church didn't come up with the Virgin Mary as being the mother of Jesus and Immaculate Conception, and that Mary, they say Mary never sinned. Well, there are lots of things that the Catholic Church corrupted vehemently. And so I didn't tend to come up here and make a mule of myself. I just went ahead and I taught what I knew, and it's fine. I'm going to show you what the Lord did, and it took me all these years and his Spirit to let me know why he did it. He said, he's talking to the disciples, and he says, at that day ye shall know that I am in the Father, and ye in me, and I in you. Now, they weren't certain about a lot of things. They didn't realize while he was walking around with them that this was Jehovah God, that all power in heaven and earth was given unto him, and he didn't give it to them until the very last commission to the church, where he said, all power in heaven and earth is given unto me. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And then he said, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. You didn't hear me mention a single thing about the preexistence of Christ, how Jesus himself was the Almighty God. You've heard all that. You've seen it. I've taught it. It's hard for some people to accept this, and I understand why. But God did this in a very unique way. And what I'm going to be showing you here tonight is the way that he did it. And the reason that I know that now, when I tell you that Jesus is a pre-incarnate Christ and that he is Jehovah God and that all power in heaven and earth is given unto him, I don't have to go into any fancy Greek language. I don't have to go into the Hebrew language. I don't have to go into any of that. But this is what I taught. And when I taught it, I was teaching directly from the Word of God. And I didn't say anything that was wrong. I just didn't elaborate the fullness of it. Now, he says, at that day you shall know that I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you. That's quite a union. But they came, when they came to Jesus, they saw that he was dead already, and break not his legs. But one of the soldiers, with a spear, pierced his side, and forthwith there came out blood and water. That was done, as John wrote this, to let you know that Jesus was a flesh and blood man. So if you want to know anything about Jesus, besides the fact he was a flesh and blood man, this says he was. Well, how can that be? Well, there's only one God. And the Virgin Mary did not have an immaculate conception. The Virgin Mary was sinful. However, All power in heaven and earth was given unto Jesus. All power in heaven and earth, period. He's Jehovah God. Jehovah God conceived himself in the Virgin Mary's womb because she was the best candidate. She was the best one, and he picked her personally. But Jesus, as Father, was truly Jehovah. But he was Jehovah only in the sense that Jesus fulfilled one of the offices in the Godhead. And Jesus was God himself. And it was the way that he taught this that made it possible in the last days to actually understand it. And he taught it in reverse. The Hebrews do this a lot. It's a way of Hebrew teaching. They teach it upside down sometimes. And they go backwards rather than forwards with it so that at the end you'll understand what's happening. He says, one of the soldiers came with a spear, pierced his side, and forthwith there came out blood and water. And he that saw it bare record. This is John, he said. And his record is true. And he knoweth that he saith true, that ye might believe. For these things were done, that the scripture might be fulfilled, a bone of him shall not be broken. Now, what's remarkable about this is, why would God go to all that trouble to tell us that? Because as we study and go through the Bible, if we continue in the faith after we've been saved, we're going to heaven if God saves us. I guarantee you, once you get saved, you're going to heaven, period. But is there a blessing for those who, after they're saved, want to learn more about this man who gave his blood and his life? Is there a desire inside them? At first, there is. And at first, when a person gets saved, they're all excited about it. But it doesn't take very long afterwards that they learn that this God wants them to put their neck in his double yoke. His double yoke is something that you put on after you get saved. You can't put it on until you get saved, and once you get saved, you can stick your head in that yoke willingly. And where he walks, you walk. What he says, you believe. And you just keep doing that, doing that, doing that, doing that. You say, well, that would get old. I know. Some people only last a very short period. They just explode into all kind of wonderful exclamations about Jesus. But then pretty soon they just gradually drop out of church and out of love and out of compassion. And the only way that people are going to know that you are genuine is by this we know. We recognize that we love the children of God when we love God and keep his commandments. What would have happened if the Lord had showed up to the disciples after they left John and he had said, I am Almighty God Jehovah. Would they have believed him? No, they would not have believed him. You say, well, when did they learn it? They followed him. What was the first thing he said to the two disciples after they left John and John the Baptist? They followed him. Jesus knew what they were after. And pretty soon he turned around and he said, what seekest thou? And they started talking about the Messiah and different things. And he said, come and see. And they spent their whole ministries with him after that. And then they began to see. They began to understand. But God taught it in reverse. Because why did they try to stone Jesus? Because he claimed to be God. He admitted he was the Messiah on a couple of occasions. They didn't stone him. But when he said, I and my Father are one, they took up rocks to stone him. That was the ultimate sin. That was the unforgivable sin. And all this was done for you. All this was done for me. Now, I know this is true because now when I go forward and I show you Jesus as the eternal God himself, but Hebrews teach stuff sometimes. They teach the easy part first and the hard part later. And you have to intertwine the whole thing. You say, well, what does that show you? Whether or not you love God. 1 John 5:1-13. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And everyone that loveth him that begat loveth him also that is begotten of him. His Father and Jesus himself were actually one spirit. My Father and I are one. And I'm going to be showing you something here. If Terry will help me get here, I think I can get it. I'm going to read this to you. And you can mull it over while I'm teaching this. I taught this when I first came up here. I think it was a part of this message at this time, but my memory is not that good anymore. It's terrible. Okay, 2 Corinthians. Second Corinthians 11, beginning in verse 2. For I am jealous over you with godly jealousy. When God's jealous over someone, it isn't like the kind of jealousy we have. He has got jealous over us because he made us. We fell because the first Adam was made a living soul. And Jesus, the last Jesus, the second Jesus, came as a quickening spirit. So I had been trying to find Christ, what he wanted me to do to be saved for years, ever since I was about 7 years old. And finally, I found him a long time later when I was finally scripturally baptized. He said, espoused you to one husband, that I may present you a chaste virgin to Christ. Now, what does it mean to be presented as a chaste virgin to Christ? But I fear, lest by any means, that the serpent beguiles you through his subtlety. So your minds should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. You want to know what happened and why you have so many churches? Because Satan is a lot smarter than we give him credit for. He corrupted the minds very quickly in the first New Testament churches of a lot of people. He said, but I fear, Paul was being sincere, he said, I fear lest by any means that as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. Now, one of the reasons we started these classes at night, and don't worry, I'm not going to get on you for not attending. This is something you just have to make up your own mind about. What does that mean, that your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ? The word means singleness. Look it up for yourself in Strong's. That's one reason we look all these words up. Look it up for yourself. The word means, actually, it means the singleness that is in Christ. Well, you got one thing on the table there. That thing I use, this thing here. Hope I can get it to work. Okay, there's one dot, a red dot. That's single. But what if I put 5 dots up here? That's getting more and more complicated. And that's what the devil did. And today, if I go to some churches and teach that there is such a thing as the continuation of Christ as God himself from the very beginning, people say I'm crazy. No, I'm not crazy. It's just the devil has corrupted our minds from the singleness, the simplicity that is in Christ. Two things are more complicated than one, and three things are more complicated than two. And you say, well, it can't be that simple. It is that simple. And that's what happened. The devil complicated it. If you were the devil, what would you do? Truth is truth. So how would you change it? You would corrupt it by throwing in a few little extra words, saying a few little extra things. That's the reason that I went along and took Hebrew and Greek. I wanted to know. You say, well, why did you do that? It's a selfish reason. When I came before the judgment seat of Christ, I wanted to know that I had the love of God in my heart the way that God wanted it to be there. You say, well, why couldn't they have done that in the first time? God didn't do it that way. Now, here's a very important principle, and I hope you remember it all your life. Don't ever question the way that God does something. Don't do that. Don't do it for your own sake. Because what you're saying is, A better way to do this would have been this way or that way or this way or that way. No. The only way to do it was the way God did it. That's the way God did it. You say, well, what's different about this church? We have not corrupted the simplicity that is in Christ. We believe there is one God, and that one God is Jesus Christ, and in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And we receive members from churches that have like faith and order. They don't have to understand Greek and Hebrew. If they'll just believe what this says in Koine Greek or whatever, in the King James translation, God will save you. You say, well, why didn't he just teach them right off the bat? They wouldn't have believed him. They would not have believed him. So how did he do it? He did it gradually. He started off and it became easier and easier and easier for them to understand. You say, well, if God had done it this way, I think it would have been better. When God does something, I never question it. It's true. It's the whole truth and nothing but the truth. And so I accept that. You say, well, you might be wrong. Well, then God's wrong. And God is never, ever wrong. Now he says, for if he that cometh, well, I'll just skip over that. But the way the devil has done a lot of things is to corrupt our minds. Do you know what God wants you to do? Do you know why he did all this? Every one of you sitting here and myself is totally depraved. Every one of you. Myself included. No exceptions. You're depraved. And until you come to that understanding, God won't save you. That's why so many people come. They've been wanting to do what God wanted them to do for a long time. They come down a church aisle. I don't know how many times I've seen men come down this church aisle. Had a wonderful wife. And they mistreated her. And finally, she left him. And he swore up and down he'd stay faithful to her. Well, when she didn't do what he wanted right away and come back to him, that was the end of that. If you come to God wanting to please him, you got to do it his way. You say, well, his way is hard. No, it isn't. He said, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. What? The rest of salvation. Then why is it when you obey the next law, the next rule, come to the Lord, trust in him. He'll save you. But then why does the next one say, take my yoke upon you and learn of me? For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Then why, after you surrender to preach, do you discover that you're climbing up the side of a wall, hanging on a thread, and you're about to be voted out of the church, and people think you're a heretic? Why does that happen? Do you think the devil wants God's church to succeed? He begins to corrupt those minds from a simplistic thought. God taught the easy part first, and the hard part comes second. You can't understand the second part unless you understand the first part. Thank God to be saved. All you have to do is repent toward God and put your faith in his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ. After that, all this becomes clearer. But it won't become clear until you make up your own mind. I want to know more about Jesus. Come and see. I don't teach heresy, never have taught heresy, and never will. He said, whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And everyone that loveth him that begat, loveth him also that is begotten of him. By this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. And his commandments are not grievous. For whosoever is born of God overcometh the world. Wonder how that happens. For whosoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? That's interesting. When did any one of you, by your own actions, by your own works, by your own surrender, by your own humbling of yourself, by your own submission to God, did it all alone? Not one of you. Only one man did it. His name was Jesus Christ. And he did it all by himself. He took my sins in his own body on the tree when I believed he was the Lord. And I trusted in him to save me because I had tried for years and I couldn't save myself. You know how he taught me? By these very scriptures you see up here. Well, how did he do that? He says that we keep his commandments. And his commandments are not grievous. They're not burdensome. For whosoever is born of God overcometh the world. This is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. How did that happen? Paul said, for we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, ego eimi, present indicative active. Paul said, and he made it very clear, for we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. He said he was sold under sin. He pointed out he was totally depraved. And yet in him, Paul knew that something had happened, and it was something that God did, and Paul didn't do himself. He said very plainly, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, not me, not I, but Christ dwelleth in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live, now get this, by the faith of Jesus Christ, who gave himself for me. So I'm not condemned. One man kept the law. His name was Jesus. One man overcame. His name is Jesus. I have never done one righteous thing in my entire existence. I am the product of a man who overcame the world. His name is Jesus. I am a product of the God of Israel who presented the truth. And I believe it. I don't have to worry about whether I'm going to heaven or not. I just need to be concerned about what I'm going to get when I get there. Listen, his yoke is easy and his burden is light. You make it heavy. Is it such a great and terrible thing to come down a church aisle and attend and serve God? Is it such a terrible thing to mend your ways? Is it such a terrible thing to be interested in the one who saved you? Is it? You say, well, I was saved by the old-time gospel. You just think you were saved by the old-time gospel. Because the old-time gospel, the Roman church actually corrupted, and many still believe in it. And yet the Bible says, come ye out of her. Here, look, you think that this is a profitable thing to me as far as popularity, being liked, being loved, being contained? Forget it. I do this because I was called to do it. And I do this because God laid it on my heart. And I pray that God will leave me down here just as long as he wants to leave me. And I mean that his will be done and not my own. There are many things that God had to teach the first church. And they just weren't ready for it. They weren't ready for the actual thing that he wanted to teach them. And finally, they began to learn it. Can you straighten that thing out, Terry? He said, for who is he that overcometh the world, but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? This is he that came by water and blood, even Jesus Christ. Not by water only, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit that beareth witness, because the Spirit is truth. Because the second Adam was made a quickening spirit, and when you believed that Jesus could save you, and that Jesus promised, when you believed that it is appointed to man once the judgment, and after this the judgment. In any case, there it is, because the Spirit is truth. Now, He was a flesh and blood man. And he was sinless. Because he was not the seed of the woman in the sense that Mary was his mother by natural birth. God formed himself in the mother's womb. And Jesus said, I have power to take my life and to recover it. And Jesus, it was also indicated by God that he would draw them to Jesus and you would be saved. But so many people, after they get saved, they think, well, I'm glad that's over. I don't have to go to church and serve anymore. You're absolutely right, you don't. But how would you like to live in all eternity outside the heavenly city of Jerusalem? Not out burning in a fiery pit, not as an unhappy person, but a person who realized they had wasted their whole life. This is he that came by water and blood, even Jesus Christ. Not by water only, but by water and blood. And it is this, the Spirit, that beareth witness, because the Spirit is truth. Now, let's see what happens on this next one here. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be called, shall be saved. Go back up to the top of that line. But there are three that bear record in heaven. The Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. And these three are one. They're united. There aren't three gods. There aren't four gods. There's just one God. And these are three that bear witness in earth. The Spirit, the water, and the blood. And all these three agree in one. This is what I preached when I first came up here. What would they have done to me if I had come up here and told them that there was that it had been taught for years that Christ was actually a continuation of God, the same yesterday, today, and forever, and that there was only one God? Well, I wouldn't have lasted very long here, I don't think. And there are three that bear witness in earth, the Spirit, and the water, and the blood, and these three agree in one. Notice that one God. If we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater. For this is the witness of God, which he hath testified of his Son. He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. That's what I'm doing right now. I have to witness in myself. You say, what's going to happen if you get to heaven and you discover you were wrong? I'm not going to be wrong, because it's based on the Scriptures and what the Scriptures say, and I haven't distorted them in any way. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believed not the record that God gave of his Son. And here's what God wants you to believe, and this is when I got saved. And this is the record that God hath given to us of his Son, given to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life, present indicative active, hath life. And he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. Now notice why he wrote this. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. So I'm not worried about dying and going to hell. And I have called upon the name of the Lord. I didn't have to call on him as Jehovah. I didn't have to call on him as Almighty God. I just asked Jesus to save me, and there it is. Now let's take a look at as it continues on the next sheet. The fall of man. We believe. Now all these are missionary Baptist doctrine. All of them. They're back of the ABA book. When I actually made this up. In the last century. When I first came up here. We believe that man was created in holiness under the law of the Maker. Was created in holiness under the law of the Maker. But by voluntary transgression fell from that holy and happy state, in consequence of which all mankind are now sinners. That's it. Total depravity. They just can't accept it. Well, there's some good in all men. There's no good in any man except what God transplanted there. But there's plenty of corruption in a man, because we are all born totally depraved, whether we believe it or not, whether we like it or not, whether you accept it or not. The question is, at the judgment seat of Christ, how are you going to answer that? Not by constraint, but choice. Being by nature utterly void of that holiness required by the law of God, positively inclined to evil, and therefore under just condemnation to eternal ruin without defense or excuse. Let's take a look at what happened. Well, you know the sin that they committed. So what happened when they committed it? In the eyes of them both, Genesis 3, 7, 12, and 13. In the eyes of them which of them both were opened, and they knew they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. They decided to try to cover up what they'd done. And that's the first thing men try to do. They try to doctor up what happened, to admit that they have sinned, but that now that they're saved, they've been quickened, and they don't sin anymore. That's a lie. And the man said, "The woman whom thou gavest to be with me, she gave me of the tree." What's the first thing he did? He blamed the woman. What's the first thing you do? You try to find somebody else to justify yourself. You say, "Well, I never do that." You're lying. You're lying. You're lying. Because the first thing you try to do is justify your own self. You say, "Well, how do you know that? I've got plenty of experience at it." And made themselves aprons. The man said, "The woman whom thou gavest me to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat." And the Lord God said unto the woman, "What is this that thou hast done?" He knew where they had hidden. He told, asked them to come out. And he knew what they had done, and he called them out. Well, they eventually came out. And the woman said, "The servant beseeched me, and I did eat." She blamed the serpent. I don't blame Adam. I don't blame the serpent. I'm sure not going to blame God. You're looking at a totally depraved chunk of flesh sitting right here who only has something in him that's good that came from God. I have the Spirit of the living God living inside me in the person of Jesus Christ. He's good. I'm not. I'm totally depraved. People can't accept being totally depraved. They just can't put, they just don't understand it. There's got to be some basic good in humanity. There is no basic good in humanity. You say, "Well, I guess he sends all those little children to hell." Wrong, he does not. He does not. And I'll preach on that at some time in the future. And Psalm 51, 3 through 5. "For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me." Well, David was a saved man, and here I am sitting to you, a chunk of flesh, admitting he's totally depraved, and it's ever before me. You think now I don't sin anymore? You think now I don't get jealous? You think now I don't get irritated? You don't think sometimes I lose my cool? Yeah, that's all true, but I guarantee you it doesn't take me long to run to God and ask for forgiveness. "Against thee, and thee only, have I sinned, and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest, and be clear when thou judgest. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me." I need to be quickened. All right, I got quickened. What happened? Romans 3, 10 through 12 and 23. "As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one." There's no exception to that. "There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God." And that's true. "They are all gone out of the way. They are altogether become unprofitable." Useless. Useless to God. You say, "Well, why are they useless?" It's God that does the work in you. You do the submitting to God. And you tell people the truth. Anything good about you is God himself living in you. And anything bad about you is your old carnal nature kicking up its heels and doing what it wants. "For all have sinned. There is none that doeth good." No, not one. "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. For we know," Paul said, "that the law is spiritual. But I am carnal." I am is ego eimi. It's a present indicative active. "Sold under sin." I was sold under sin. You say, "Well, how'd you get out of that?" The Lord paid the price for all my sins. And he knew that I couldn't save myself. And he wanted me to come out and be open and honest. And I'm being open and honest with you. I'm a pastor of this church. And I'm telling you that every pastor of every missionary Baptist church that I've ever been in, pastor's totally depraved, just like I am. The trouble is we need to admit it, one to ourselves and to one another. We need to admit that Jesus is the only one who can save us, that we ourselves are preaching what happened to us in our life based on the Scripture. "For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not." Okay, Terry, you want to push it on up? Is that the last scripture? Okay. Hey, I got 1 minute left. You're grinning. Aha. The evil one has crept in your mind.